this day of trumpets is probably a day that most people don't really understand as being full of ideas and fulfillment of prophecy. For example, we could look at the book, find out that in the day of trumpets, it could well be that Yahshua will come back on this day. And if that happens, why, of course, there is also the claim that he will be anointed king. He will be king of the universe. First, he'll be king of this earth. He's now our present priest. He's been the prophet when he was here, teaching and preaching to the world and to his servants. So he is now going to come back as a ruling king. We could talk about the kingdoms, and we could talk about the rituals of the kings. Excuse me. Go back and read the kings of Samuel, perhaps with Saul. Read about what happened there. The king also of David, Solomon. And read how these things that happened there, that were written down for us, apply to the time when Yahshua will be king of this earth. Or we could talk about the resurrection, because when he returns, the scripture says that the saints will be raised. Those that are dead will be raised alive to the spirit realm. Those that are dead, I should say, will be raised to the spirit realm. And the living ones will be changed as well. So we could talk about that, all wrapped up in the Day of Trumpets. We could also talk about the government of peace that will prevail after Yahshua comes back and sets up his kingdom. And by the way, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says that Yahshua is going to be the judge in this first resurrection. He is the one that's going to rule. He is the one that is... that is, choosing the ones he wants to have in the kingdom. Yahweh apparently gives him a list and says, I'll call all these people. You pick out the ones you want. So we find that Yahshua does talk about choosing the 12 disciples. And he said one of them was a devil. And of course that was Judas. Well, yesterday I talked a little bit about the different problems we're going to have when the Savior comes back. Today I want to get back to that self-same thought, but I'd like to talk a little more about the blessings that are going to accrue when that government is finally put in place and Yahshua is ruling. Let's start by going to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 7. Daniel probably has the most precise prophecies written down for us, one verse after another, and it takes most of it pretty much into context. In chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, move on down there to verse 9. It starts out, and in the first thing you know, it is talking about the king who was going to be ruling at that time. The first 8 verses of the 7th chapter talk about the beast and so on, but I want to move on down to verse 9. And there we read, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. What does that mean? It means that there'll be no more ruling besides or against Yahweh and Yahshua. All the worldly thrones will be cast down. There won't be anybody ruling except Yahweh's way. So we find here it says, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now the Ancient of Days, most scholars realize, stands for the Heavenly Father Yahweh. And in the book of John, in fact, we find in 2 places, chapter 1 and verse 18, and also farther on, chapter 6, he says that no one has seen the Heavenly Father at any time. So this, again, was a vision. And this is what Daniel is writing about, a vision. the Ancient of Days is seen here, and he's seen also in the book of Revelation, and also we read about him in the book of Ezekiel. But we really don't have a good picture of the Heavenly Father Yahweh, except what we get through the eyes of Yahshua himself. But notice here in the vision it says, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, stands for purity, stands for righteousness. And the hair of his head was like pure wool, his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That's almost what you read about over in the book of Ezekiel, the wheels within wheels. A fiery stream, verse 10, issued and came forth before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Well, this is talking about mankind. And you find there it says the judgment was set and the books were opened. Why did it say books? More than one book? Well, there must be, of course, it would be the book of life, the Bible. But also there would be a book with the names of the people written down in that book who are in the book of life. And they both are opened. And judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even until the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, which we didn't read about from verse 1 to verse 8, they had their dominion taken away. They were no longer ruling. And Yahweh himself through his son is doing the ruling now. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And then we read in verse 13 that Daniel says, I saw in the night visions. Again, Yahweh is seen, Ancient of Days is seen in a vision. And he saw one like the Son of Man, that's Yahshua. Yahshua is coming to in with clouds, and he came to the Ancient of Days. Quite often the word clouds means a myriad of angels or a group of people, the saints. And we just read in verse 10, all the people, all the thousands upon thousands are coming. And we read the Ancient of Days, that came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. When Yahweh sets up his kingdom under his son is going to rule. And it may take a while, but eventually he will have his rule encompass the earth. Everything will be under his control. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. And then we find in verse 15, Daniel is concerned. Now he's all wrapped up in this. He can't fathom exactly what's supposed to happen. And it says in verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by, one of the angelic beings, and asked him the truth of what he was looking at. And so he told me and made me know the interpretation. And it goes in and tells about these four beasts in verse 17. Notice again how Yahweh will tell a story or tell an account and give prophecy. And the next thing he'll tell us, now don't worry about it. It's going to be this way. But you follow in the footsteps of my son and you'll be all right. You may be persecuted, but in the end things are going to turn out. And that's what he does here. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And you keep reading about this fourth beast and so on. You get down to verse 22 and it talks about the Ancient of Days, that Yahweh is going to really allow his rule to take complete charge of this earth. And it says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Now it's talking about how he's going to rule. He is picking out people right now that they are to learn of his ways, walk in his statutes, have his ways to be our way of life, We just do it naturally because that's what we're trying to do, to walk in the footsteps of Yahshua. And he says, judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So again, he says, it's going to be a little tough, it's going to be rough, but I'm doing that to test you. Are you going to stand fast? Or are you going to back away and say, I can't take any more of this, I can't stand any more, and back away? Kind of reminds me of a boss I once had. He deliberately was very rough on the first month when somebody worked for him. He deliberately tried to get him to quit because he felt if I could do that, then I don't want him anyway. They'll probably quit later on down the road when I really need him. So he's real rough on him. And I was told that before I started, and they were right. But anyway, once you stayed with him and learned to put up with his ways, he would do anything for you. And he did. But sometimes I think maybe you got it out of the book of the Bible itself. I don't know. But there are people like that, and I think Yahweh is that way. He doesn't always answer every prayer we come to him with. Well, he does answer them his way. Not the way we want it, but the way he wants it, the way he's going to do it. So we find here again, the Son of Man, you see, comes down and is taking over the rulership. But it's under Yahweh himself, under Yahweh's direction. And you find that, let's go over to the book of Matthew. I hate to just end up with the Old Testament, and then somebody says, well, you always pick out the Old Testament, you don't talk about the New. Well, the basis is back in the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the Olivet Prophecy. And you'll find here that Yahshua is talking about the self-same thing. And it's always the good news. And chapter 24, we'll move down there to just one verse here, verse 30. It says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Again, I want to make sure that you understand, I'm not saying that Yahshua has to come on the Day of Trumpets. I'm not saying that at all. He might come on the Day of Trumpets. In fact, I would expect him to come on the Day of Trumpets. But he might have other plans. Whenever that time is, this is what it's talking about. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. What's that talking about? We just read about the other rulers were put down. Those that want to live in the world the way it is now and are happy with it, they're the ones that are going to mourn. They don't see the wickedness that's going on. Or they do see it and they put up with it and are probably a part of it. So they want to continue with it, and that's why they mourn. But when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and then we find in verse 31, he's talking here about the trumpet. And again, this indicates that this could well take place on the Day of Trumpets. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Some time ago, I got a call from a man, and he said, I was with a group that was teaching that to get into the kingdom, you only have to be over in Petra, over in the Middle East, because that is where the saints will all be gathered. And I remember this verse, and I said, wait a minute, doesn't Yahshua say he's going to gather his elect from the four winds, from a hole all around the earth? Isn't that what it says? Verse 31, one end of heaven to the other. You don't have to be in any one certain place. In fact, we just had one lady want to know if he didn't have to be down there in Abilene somewhere in Texas. And I said, no. Yahweh knows where you are. He hasn't lost any of them. Scripture says that. Not one kernel, not one grain of seed shall ever fall to the earth without his knowledge. But he goes on here to talk about the parable of the branch. Go over to chapter 26 in the book of Matthew. And notice here in backing this up in chapter 26, again, Yahshua says in verse 64, you have said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. And this, by the way, this right hand of power, some of the scholars say that Yahweh's name used to be there, but it was taken out. And dunamis, or dynamite, was put in the right hand of power. That really should be, he's sitting on the right hand of Yahweh. It was taken out. I thought that was kind of interesting. Well, let's move on here. Revelation chapter 1. We have to make sure we cover some of these things so that people know they all tie together. Chapter 1, and we'll move down there to verse 4. And John here is to tell the seven assemblies which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, excuse me, from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Seven spirits are the fullness of Yahweh's power. And from Yahshua Messiah, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the dead, or kings of the earth, I mean, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he comes with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So we find here that the book of Revelation talks about his coming. Yahshua talked about his return. And so we find that these things are both in the Old Testament as well as in the New. To back that up, I want to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah, probably, chapter 26, tells us more about some of these things than most of the other prophets. Beginning there at verse 1, it says, in that day, this is a song of Judah. In that day, this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation. Elohim will appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. So it's talking about the just shall live by faith, and they also shall live, and the gates will be open unto them. And verse 3 says, they will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, Yahweh, because he trusts in Yahweh. Verse 4, trust you in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh Elohim, or Elohim Yahweh, is everlasting strength. And he goes on to talk about the high and lofty city and so on. Let's go to Psalm 118. And we find that this message is all through the Old Testament. And we find that a lot of people think that just the New Testament talks about Yahshua's return. But back here in the book of Psalms, chapter 118, or Psalm 118, notice in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise Yahweh. This gate of Yahweh, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, verse 21, for you have heard me and become my salvation. And here we find in verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. A lot of times you hear people quote verse 24. It says, this is the day Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, he's made every day, so I guess we always should rejoice. I want to go back now to the book of Thessalonians in the New Testament. I'm trying to get you going back and forth here so that you understand that these things are both Old and New Testament doctrines. They're nothing that is done in a corner where nobody knows anything of what's going on. So we'll go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And pages keep sticking together. In chapter 4, move down there to, verse 14. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Yahshua will Elohim bring with him. Now, back in the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning about verse 50, it talks there about how he's going to bring them with him. When Yahshua comes down to the earth, the dead Messiah will rise first, and then we find that when he will that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. But notice verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Master shall not precede them which are asleep. For Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. So whether you're alive or dead, the dead ones will be raised first, and then the ones that will be made alive will see all the dead ones, and they will all be together in the spirit realm. Wanted to go back on this one because it talks about the trumpet. And this we find in the book of Revelation says that he will be here at the last trump. verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Master. Sometimes you'll find it'll talk about it. He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. A lot of the scholars contend those clouds simply means be an entourage of people. A lot of people will be coming back with them, and that's what the clouds really are speaking about. But notice it says that those that are made spirit beings will always be with them from then that point onward. And then we are to comfort one another with those words. Well, we find that the book of Thessalonians in chapter 1 and over here in chapter 5 is where I want to be. 1 Thessalonians. And here we read about the warning that we have to be careful and not say that the Messiah has to come at a certain time. We have it all figured out. He has to come in 7 years, and he'll be here June 10th, and, you know, whatever it is. We're not to do that. And yet I remember reading some of these things when I was starting out, and I used to be real excited about these things till all these prophecies failed. You're supposed to come in 1975. That came and went. Nothing happened. K2 was supposed to be another 2,000-year change. That's man's making, his way of counting years. Nothing happened then either. So I do think, though, there are certain things that do have to happen and that we haven't heard yet, and I don't think that we can say he's going to come tomorrow or come tonight. I do think that the Scripture says we have to know who the man of sin is. Now, we may not know that he is the man of sin, but we know who he is. He could be some popular figure on the earth seen even today. Whether he'll turn out to be the man of sin or not is conjecture. But notice here, in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, For you yourselves perfectly know that the day of Yahweh so comes as a thief in the night. And again, every time you see that day of Yahweh, you know it's talking about the return of Yahshua the Messiah. For when they shall say, peace and safety, so we're going to have a peace over there in the Middle East, so they say. Well, Scripture says, watch out when that happens. When they say the Jews are going to live happily with the Arabs, and everybody is going to be so glad that the war is over, that they're going to sit back and relax. Yahshua says, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So when you see all these things come together, and the day of trumpets is going to be right behind us. And by the day of trumpets, I mean the blowing of the trumpet when Yahshua comes back. I have another thing I wanted to just mention. And over here in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, in chapter 19, we have the wedding ceremony. And that could be something else that we could talk about because it fits in with the Day of Trumpets. If this is when Yahshua comes back, this is the day he marries his bride, isn't it? And the bride is the saints in the first resurrection. So here in chapter 19, we read there in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Notice that the marriage supper is there, and it says his wife. That word is guni in the Greek. And we have to understand, I believe, that that means the one that he's engaged to, the betrothal. And we're learning now how to be the people that Yahweh wants us to be. But notice, if we are the bride, and I believe we are, verse 8 says, "To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen." Fine linen is the meaning of it is living in righteousness, doing Yahweh's will. And he says right there that fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said, "Right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of Elohim." And I fell at his feet to worship him. But I want you to notice back there, it says, "Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Now, there are other people that are going to be there that are not the bride. Isn't that what it says? The marriage supper. And blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper. When we go back here to the... I forgot what I had in mind. Back to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Notice in chapter 25, Yahshua is giving a parable here. And he says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Notice something here most people overlook. This is not the bride. The 10 virgins are not the bride. There's somebody else. 5 of them are wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." Now, who's this that gives the calling? I don't know. I'm just wondering. All of a sudden, the call goes out. The bridegroom's coming. Go ye out to meet him. My point is, if this is talking about Yahshua returning, and I think it is, we might be able to ferret out some truth out of the custom of the weddings back in the times of Yahshua. What did the Jews do in their wedding back there? How does this all tie in with the customs of those days, if there is any? I think there is. But that's another talk. Notice here it says, "The virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." So, number one, we have to look at this and say, these are spiritually clean people. But they're not the bride. There's something else. "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.'" So they didn't have enough to carry them through. They had just enough to make it. And they thought, "I'll just do enough to get into the kingdom, and then I'll be safe." There are people like that. They'll keep the weekly Sabbath, but they won't keep the feast days. They think, I'll keep the weekly Sabbath, because that comes every week. But I'm not going to keep those feast days. Or they'll say, I know Yahweh is his name, but I'm going to call him the Eternal. That's plenty good enough. He knows who I mean. I'm just going to call him Eternal. That's good enough. Or maybe Jehovah. And yet they'll read over and over again that his name, as the scholars know it, is Yahweh. But they refuse it. And that third commandment doesn't affect them, they think. That's probably one of the most broken commandments in the Ten Commandments. Well, maybe coveting is worse. But anyway, what I'm saying here is don't ever think you can get in by the skin of your teeth and then hope that everything will turn out all right. You've got to do everything you can. Yahweh wants first-class people. He wants those that abide by the law and yet are loving and helpful and so on. And that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to... In fact, I remember I had a boss one time, another one that was better. Anyway, anybody that was working for him was the best person that he ever had on that line. And sometimes he talked that way. And you couldn't help but try to do better to live up to his expectations. And I think this is what Yahweh is doing too. I think we have to do the same thing. Excuse me. Well, let's finish this up here. The foolish said to the wise in verse 8, "Give us some of your oil. Ours has gone out." And the wise said, "Well, we can't do that. Because if we do, we won't have enough for you and ourselves both. So go buy your own. Go get your own." Excuse me. So they went to buy, and the bridegroom came, and they were ready. They went in with him and into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came those other virgins, saying, "Master, Master, open to us." And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not." Sounds like Yahshua talking to the people. They say, "Haven't we cast out demons in your name and called on your name?" He says, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I don't know who you are." Here he does the same thing. So verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is going to come." There's another group of people we want to take a look at. Maybe they're the same group, but a different description back in the book of Revelation. Let's turn back to chapter 7. And here in chapter 7, we have, first of all, those that are Israelites, all the 12 tribes, Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. They're all there, except for Dan. But anyway, the 12 tribes, and that can be explained, by the way. But notice, get down to verse 9, here's another great multitude. And I often wonder if this great multitude is not the same as the virgins that went to get more oil for their lamps. Or are they the virgins that did have the oil and didn't make it into the kingdom? Anyway, notice here it says in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne." Well, when he says you can't count them all, and he lets us know that they're kindreds and people and tongues and everybody. They come from all around the world. And they stand before the Lamb clothed with white robes and palms. Again, white robes indicates righteousness, doesn't it? Palms mean to spread it around. Verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our Elohim, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces. And they worshipped Yahweh, saying, So be it, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our mighty one forever and ever. Amen." Amen. "So be it. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said, Sir, you know. He said, These are they which came out of the great tribulation. I washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I guess they missed the rapture, and now they came in out of the tribulation. Is that what it says? Because they came in late, but they came out of the tribulation. And they washed their robes, and apparently they are now clean. And verse 15 says they are before the throne. And they serve Yahweh day and night in His temple. So apparently they are in the temple proper. And He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more. So one time it tells us they were hungry, neither thirst any more. They must be spirit beings by now if they're going to be in Yahweh's throne. Because when we find out about His rulership, He's going to govern everything from this earth, taking a small little nation like this earth and make it the headquarters for the universe. Kind of makes you wonder what Yahweh can do. Take little things and make them bigger than anything else. He says here, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. So at one time they apparently were sunburned. And the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and they shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So we find that Yahweh and Yahshua are taking care of these people. And exactly who they are, I'm not really positive, but I think it's good to know about these things and ask Yahweh to guide us to what we should be studying and learning and the things that He wants us to know. I've often thought that the ladies actually have more guideposts than the men do, because they're taught to be what Yahweh wants them to be. And someday the men too are included in the bride class. So we have to know too what the ladies already know and learn them the hard way. Well, the book of Revelation is not a closed book at all. In fact, there's so many things here that we have to look at and try to keep everything in balance. But I want you to turn with me now, if you will, to chapter 22. In chapter 22, we have again in verse 12, Yahshua's words. And He says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Not only are we given everlasting life or eternal life, we also are given rewards. And that's up to Yahweh to decide, or Yahshua to decide what they will be. And He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and to enter into the gates, into the city. And then He talks about outside. You don't want to be there. There are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, adulterers, idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie. And then we find here in verse 16, Yahshua has sent mine angel. I, Yahshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Notice someday in verse 17, we're going to be inviting other people to join with us. Notice, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let them take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Elohim shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in the book. He that testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Yahshua. The grace of our Master Yahshua Messiah be with you all. Amen. So be it.